know that every word you speak matters. Are your conversations making a difference? With a passion for words and a heart for conversation, Teresa Velarde is a self-professed word nerd, best-selling author, BizCat 360 columnist, and publisher. Children's books as well as fiction and nonfiction books are welcomed at WeBe Books Publishing and Book Endeavors, the imprints of her company, Authentic Endeavors Publishing. Whether written or spoken, Teresa strives to encourage and inspire meaningful conversations that make a difference. Here's the host of Conversations That Make a Difference, Teresa Velarde.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another edition of Conversations That Make a Difference. I am Teresa Velarde and I'm here with my guests today, Michelle Renee Hammer and Pastor Rich Bradshaw. And before we get started, let me just say that Conversations That Make a Difference airs every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern times with live video call-in shows every first and third Tuesday at 5. You can listen live on YouTube and get involved in the conversation, or you can listen to the replays and live also on your Dream Vision 7 radio network on the apps and on your mobile devices. You can also ask Alexa to play Dream Vision 7 radio network and she will get that for you. I don't say it too loud in case I make anybody's Alexa go get the station. We usually start with a prayer. We usually start with the Serenity Prayer. Everybody knows that. It's universal. So if we would just for a moment say, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And it is by God's grace that we are fabulous, blessed, highly favored, and living in our greatness, using our God gifts and talents. And with passion and purpose, we are making a difference in the lives of others, and all of God's great universe is conspiring in our favor. And it's with great gratitude we say, amen. So let me tell you a little bit about my guests today. Michelle Renee Hammer is no stranger to this show. She's been on several times. She's a licensed clinical professional and certified pastoral counselor, a breakthrough coach, and a motivational speaker, a number one international best-selling author of Boundaries for Breakthrough, Live by God's Design, 8 Essential Keys for Emotional Well-Being. And Michelle hosts a weekly television show on the Win-Win Women Network called Breakthrough Today with Michelle Renee, where she helps women navigate life's challenges in clinical and biblical ways. Having founded Turning Leap Counseling, Consultants, and Coaching, Michelle's vision is to help people discover what she calls their God why, the purpose for their pain and all they have endured. A sought after motivational speaker, her message is one of hope for hurting, delivered with wit, humor, grit, and grace. She lives on Kent Island in Maryland, and Michelle has been married to her husband, Dave, for 31 years. Is it 31 or 32 now?
31.
Okay. She has 2 grown daughters and 4 grandchildren whom she adores. And you can find her anywhere near, or better yet, on the water. She loves the water. This girl is always on the beach. To read more about Michelle, you can go to Turning Leap Counseling and Consultation.com or find her on Facebook at Michelle Hammer 7, Michelle H. Hammer 7. And we have Pastor Rich Bradshaw. His bio is as follows. He serves as the pastor of the United Methodist Church, a role he's embraced for 7 years. Has it been 7 years already? Oh my goodness. Beyond his pastoral duties, Rich is a loving husband for over 25 years to his dedicated and a dedicated father of 5. Yes, 5 children. A set of twins in there too. His professional journey is marked by a wealth of experience in business and corporate nonprofit sectors, where he has honed his skills in organizational management, strategic planning, and leadership. However, what truly drives Rich is his deep faith, which serves as the foundation of his life. His unwavering passion for service and community is deeply rooted in his faith and guiding commitment to a life of love and dedicated service. And it is with great pleasure I welcome you to Conversations That Make a Difference. So good to have you. So Michelle, I know that, so we have an event going on at Pastor Rich's church in a couple of weeks. It's called Untied, Live Free. And we are, we're hoping to gather a lot of women. We are going to be gathering a lot of women together to talk about boundaries, breakthrough, and forgiveness. You want to tell us a little bit about what we're going to be doing?
Yeah, I'm super excited about the opportunity. Thank you, Pastor Rich. Thank you, Teresa, for the privilege to get together with the women for this one day event, because I feel that it's oftentimes when we dig deep into a particular topic from the biblical view that women do realize and get that breakthrough. And oftentimes I find in my practice for like as long as I've been married that women, a lot of times, whether they realize it or not, are not fully practicing all the pieces and components of forgiveness. You know, like decisional forgiveness is a one-off, but emotional forgiveness happens over and over again, which is why I feel like Jesus said, forgive 70 times seven. I often tell ladies it's not because it's the same thing happening over and over again, which could be, but it's because you have to forgive over and over again yourself for these infractions or perceived ones. Then the other piece I find with women is oftentimes they're exhausting themselves for other people for whatever reason. And so key boundaries are missing and they're wondering why they're anxious and tired and stressed and depressed. And even though they feel like they have a ton of faith and joy in Jesus. So I really think both of these workshop style with speaking engagements that we're doing that day are powerful because they're hands on, right? It's going to be applicable that day and people are going to walk away with, you know, these tangible things they can do to stay, as we said, untied. You know, like untied, living free. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too. So Pastor Rich, how has this been received in the community? Are people talking about it?
Yeah, we have a lot of buzz out there right now. People are signing up and it's really starting to come along. As we got closer to Labor Day, it really started to pick up and we have folks sharing it, people calling the church now. So there's a lot going on, and I expect that there'll be a nice crowd and a very eager one.
That's good. So with what Michelle just said, do you feel like the church community in general is needing, the women in the church community in general, is needing to have some of the teachings that Michelle just touched on?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everybody does. So yeah, I would love more people to grab a hold of that. But right now it's, you know, the women are going to do, but I tell you, it really is something that most people beat themselves up mm-hmm. for many reasons. And so when you have an opportunity like this, where you can gather together, have someone lead you and guide you through and be able to, you know, really tackle some very difficult issues. I think it's going to be very helpful for them and their faith, them and their family, their community.
Mm-hmm. I think especially in today's environment, today's world, I think women from the sense of family need to be able to set boundaries as to what comes through the front door from various places in the world today. And that we need to be as mothers, as sisters, as co-workers, we need to be really conscious of what we put into our day to day. And that's where boundaries come in. Michelle, you're a boundary and breakthrough expert. Can we talk a little bit about boundaries and what they mean and give people sure. a little bit of a snapshot of some of the things we're going to be talking about?
Sure. I think, you know, for me, a boundary is a limit, right? It's where I stop and you begin, you know, where it's a definite non-negotiable, something that is crystal clear. And oftentimes women who I work with either have brick walls up so nobody can get there with them. They're isolated and they're guarded and they're shut down and they're hurting. And so having them be able to realize the difference between a wall up and a boundary, which keeps them safe, is one thing. Other times I've seen women, the complete opposite. They have really weak boundaries. So anybody that will listen knows everything that's happening and they're just needing someone to hear them. But the more they share and the more they talk about and the more they do, the more deep in that pattern of thought they get. So boundaries are basically saying, you know, what I feel and what I need in collaboration with what you feel and you need and where we can agree the lines are. I mean, God started the entire universe with boundaries because he says in his word, you know, in Genesis 1, he tells us, you know, that there was darkness and void all over the earth. And then he made night and day boundary, you know, sun and moon and stars, boundaries, you know, he started to make land and sea. He bounded things, right, at his word. And then we had the commandments, you know, the fall, all the things. But if you look through the Bible time and time again, at God's word, he spoke things into being and he set limits for us to live in. And so when we are outside of those bounds where we're doing boundary crossing or violations with one another, that's when forgiveness is needed and for us to reevaluate what's happening. And that's the kind of things that we talk about in the workshop is the ability to figure that out. And the thing that's super exciting to me, Teresa, is I know I use the imagery from the woman at the well a lot because, you know, God basically had a flash, you know, gave her like a flash of her past, her present, her future all in one encounter. And that's so powerful. I'm committed to empowering women through their encounter with Christ. And so we're going to do something like that too, where we give them the opportunity to position themselves to encounter Christ in these three areas too. Like Pastor said, a lot of women are beating themselves up either from things that have happened or what's happening now, or they're super anxious about what might happen. And so they don't live freed. And Jesus said that abundant life, he came for us to have abundant life in John 10:10. And that abundant life is for us now. But if we don't know how to do it, we can't get there, right? We need the tools. It's great to have the faith and the knowledge, but wisdom is that applied. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do in the workshops.
Exactly. I think that women also tend to overextend themselves and don't have a boundary, don't know how to say no. How many times, Pastor Rich, I'm going to go to you for this. Is that something that you see with the women in your community? Is it always like when you have something to volunteer for, is it always usually the same people that step up and say yes, and they don't know how to say no to stuff like that? Not that you shouldn't volunteer your church, but I know I'm one that is like, oh, I can do that. I can do that. Yeah, I can fit that in. And my brother-in-law used to stop me. He used to say, Teresa, you need to learn how to say no. And he would call me and test me and say, can you go pick up Bobby? I have to take my father to the doctor. And I'm like, yeah, I can fix that. And he says, no, you're supposed to say no. And he would test me because it's hard for me to do. Like if somebody needs me, I'm usually there. What do you think is the biggest challenge for women or men even in your community in terms of setting that particular small boundary that seems to be huge for so many of us?
Well, what I've noticed is there are those who are engaged and they're always engaged. They're engaged wherever it is, whatever you ask them to. Yes, for everything. And then you have the folks that don't. But, you know, I find that it's probably proportionately greater in women than it is in men. But I find the same, I think it's a universal issue that you run into where people don't know how to say no, you know. I gotta be honest with you, as a pastor, I don't know how to use all my boundaries and set good boundaries and so forth. That's a class that I bet you many of us could really use as well. So again, you see it many times, usually people running themselves ragged, overcommitting themselves, and they're anxious because they can't get it done. And then before you know it, you start to squeak, you start to say things that you maybe wouldn't say or feel things that maybe you wouldn't have felt if you weren't pushed so far. So learning to say no would be something very interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think what comes after that is when we don't do the job properly, according to our standards, when we don't do what we know that we can do, then we beat ourselves up. Then we go into the piece of we start calling ourselves names, thinking that we're, you know, not good enough, not this, not that. And that's where the forgiveness piece has to come in, because I think at least it's been my experience that self-forgiveness is one of the toughest things for women, particularly to do. Wouldn't you agree, Michelle?
Yeah, I had the hardest time forgiving myself, even though I knew that Jesus died for me and I helped women and men, couples, you know, through the years. Now I'm helping women, but work through some of that. I could get trapped up and caught up in, you know, like the one of the lies of the enemy, you know, when he reminds us of things, he's condemning us, and then go down that rabbit hole overthinking or feeling poorly about myself or, you know, finding buried shame and just the fact that we're human, right? But the thing that I think you do that's so powerful, Teresa, is, you know, the whole component of the workshop on that self-forgiveness piece, that the ladies are really going to have the time to really dial into that. And it's just such a freedom in Christ when, you know, we're two or three are gathered, right? He's there helping us, leading us, and you know, wanting to people to get that deeper level of freedom. He wants us to live, you know, authentically, obviously in conjunction with his will, but he knows too that we're going to blow it. And so just keeping that quick repentance and back on track instead of wallowing in it, I think makes it more likely that we can be, you know, what he calls us to by his spirit. So I really am excited about that piece.
Yeah, I'm excited about that piece too. And I think, you know, in general, the self-forgiveness piece, thank you, Michelle, for saying what you did. It perpetuates itself. So here we go. Okay, this one thing went wrong. Okay, and we're beating ourselves up about the fact that we couldn't get it all done. And Pastor Rich is going to be mad at me because I didn't get it done. And I should have given this to somebody else, but instead I want to be the superstar and I'm going to do it myself and blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, we're going on a rabbit trail back down to something that happened when we were in school as an elementary school student. And then we start beating ourselves up for everything else. It's Pastor Rich, how many times have people come to you and have gone through something similar to what I just described, and they can't get hold of themselves and the concept that there is forgiveness, Jesus forgives us, and that we can indeed step into that forgiveness ourselves?
I think one of the things I heard somebody say a long time ago was you need to start seeing yourself through the eyes of God. Because our eyes are very critical. We like to nitpick things. We like to also place thoughts and words in other people's minds that maybe aren't even there. So we're very critical of ourselves. But when we start to look at ourselves through the eyes of God and through the work of Jesus Christ, then you start to see something more. You start to, you know, being able to forgive yourself, being able to move forward. Sometimes people just freeze in place and they don't do anything after they feel like they've messed up or wherever, you know, and that's, you know, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand when I'm tired, when I'm weary, when I'm worn. And a lot of that we do to ourselves. So it's, you know, looking at it through God's eyes and the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, I think people begin to move forward again. And it takes time. No, you're never going to get to the place where you're 100% of forgiving yourself, I'm sure. But, progress is nice.
Yeah, progress is nice. And putting, somebody once told me, Teresa, you're beating yourself up. Put the stick down. I'm like, oh, I never thought of it that way. And really, that's what we do to ourselves, you know. And that comes from a place of not setting good boundaries, not figuring out how to make our life work in a way that we can actually, first and foremost, spend time with the Lord and be able to, really get into his word and know that it is a plan for our lives and that he wants only the best for us. And so I think that we get, you know, how many people get up in the middle of the night and check their phone? If they get up to go to the bathroom, how many people get up and check their phone? What difference does it make if somebody's calling you in the middle of the night? I have that happen because I have a coast to coast business. And so people call me from California and it's like, I am not answering the phone in the middle of the night. I'm so sorry. I put it on mute now. Put it on mute now. So I put a boundary up. You know, you can't call me at 3 a.m. I'm sorry. You know, so, but lots of things to talk about during our event, which is going to be September the 23rd from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the United Methodist Church in 44th, Pennsylvania. If you're in the area and you would like to join us, the event is free.
Free.
Yeah. And you will find freedom from your from a lot of things when you let yourself become untied and give your give yourself to this experience. We have to go to a break. We're going to come right back with Pastor Rich and Michelle Renee. We'll be back in a minute.
With the hustle and bustle of today's world, how often do you take time to practice gratitude? More importantly, how can you make it a habit? The Grateful Hearts community is a group of like-minded people focusing on what's going right and being grateful. Gratitude is more than putting a smile on your face and being thankful for the roof over your head. It's about expanding your perception and finding ways to find gratitude for, in, and through the challenges we face every day. Gratitude is a feeling of connection to things higher than yourself, to God, and to others. We focus on light, positivity, and connections. You make a difference. When we join our grateful hearts together, the power of community attracts more people and even more to be grateful for. Expressing gratitude and feeling grateful is infectious, so let's share it. Join our Grateful Hearts community and watch your blessings blossom. Learn more at gratefulheartscommunity.com and join the community at facebook.com/thegratefulheartscommunity.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Did you know that every word you speak matters? What you say and how you say it can make or break a relationship or shift the outcome of any situation. Are your conversations making a difference? Faith in God, gratitude, authenticity, and giving are Teresa Velarde's heart. It's in this spirit that she's focused on making a difference in the lives she's blessed to touch. Conversations That Make a Difference is now on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, with live call-in shows every first and third Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
This is Dream Vision 7 radio network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back with Michelle Renee Hammer and Pastor Rich Bradshaw from the United Methodist Church in Forty Fort, Pennsylvania. And once again, the event is September 23rd. And if you come to this free event, you're going to get this gift, Become Who You Were Created to Be. This is a journal. And really, God is the potter, we are the clay. I faked it. This is my hands. In here, you're going to find a lot of different things. You're going to find pages to write. You're going to find scripture. You're going to find things to color. You're going to find some teachings and a lot of information in here that will help to actually guide you to who it was God created you as and what your purpose in life is. And it's got a lot of things in here that will help you to really soul search and give yourself space and a place to write what's on your heart, to have a gratitude journal. There's, you can do your gratitude in here. And so there's a lot of things to work through on this. And it's fun. There's places for you to color. I find for myself, when I get overwhelmed, I love to just get a coloring book. It's the silliest thing, but like there's mandalas and things that you can color in here, but something for you to use and to take away from the event that we have. Michelle, this, you talk a lot about the woman at the well, and I know that there's going to be a segment about that, yes, in our teachings. You want to give a little bit more information on why this is, I know you touched on it earlier, but why this is so important not just for us to recognize who we are and how we are forgiven in Christ, but how we can take that teaching and use it in our lives.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much I could say about that one encounter, like we could any encounter that Christ had with any person, but particularly for us as women. She's unnamed, you know, she's the first female evangelist recorded in the Bible because she runs and tells everybody the man who knew everything about her, you know, who is the Christ. And he chose to reveal this to her because he's, you know, he's telling her she can have water that she will never thirst again. And then she says to him about the Messiah and her faith. And he says, I am he who you speak of. So I just think there's so much symbolism in that small, but magnificent, so important encounter, because Jesus is our living well, right? Because he's where we draw everything from. And he's talking to her at a well in the middle of the day when she's hiding from everyone else because she's ashamed, because she's had a lifetime of failed relationships. And now she's with someone that's not even her husband, living with him. And I just think, you know, you think about how deep a well is and how deep her pain is and how deep the forgiveness of God is. And so there's just a lot more there. And that's why I feel that God actually laid it on my heart to use this workshop series as a way to connect with women and have him, and Jesus, connect with every woman, because every woman is that woman at the well,
yes,
no matter what their story is, right? It's not about the specifics and the circumstances. It's about the principles behind that. And I think we can all identify with her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I see you nodding, Pastor Rich. Do you have something to say about that?
It is probably my favorite encounter, you know, and everybody can relate to that story in one way or another. All the things that you bring are the ways that we hide, the ways that we, you know, just really interesting, very, very interesting. There was a series out there that will remain nameless that really did a great job with that particular piece. I think you made some very good points there. It's interesting that she comes in the heat of the day. It's interesting, you know, yeah, you know, so I think we could all relate to that one way or another. And I think it's pretty amazing that Christ went out of his way, mm-hmm, specifically for her. I believe it in everything in me. I don't believe it was a chance encounter. I don't believe he just needed a drink. I believe he sent them off and specifically wanted to speak with her.
Yeah, I agree.
I believe too, that love that, you know, she was looking for, ultimately she was looking for him, right? We're looking for God and we don't even know it.
That's right.
I mean, I know that was my experience. I mean, everyone wants this idea of a specific type of love, but the only person who can love us perfectly is God himself. So I just think it's super exciting to be able to talk to ladies about that, see where they are on their journey, you know, on their journey home.
Yeah. And no matter where you are in your journey, God's timing is always perfect. Those people, there are going to be some people in that room, I guess, who may not have even ever heard this story of the woman at the well. And there are going to be some that are brought back to their relationship with Christ because of the teaching of the woman at the well. You know, so we all need to be at the well at one point of time or not in our lives, you know, whatever time it is, it's right. I've come to learn that God's timing is always perfect. No matter what I think, no matter what my plan is, I always say this, we make plans and God laughs. I think this is so true, you know, so, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then I'm taken off to do something else. And it's always in service to him one way or the other. Everything we do is always in service to him, you know, that he is glorified in whatever it is that we put our hands on, whatever it is that what comes out of our mouth. You know, it's really all for him. And so we need to stand in that and make him the light of our lives and not anything else that is distracting us. So, and I will mention the series. I will mention the series. If you haven't seen any of it, I highly recommend The Chosen.
You're going to say that.
I highly recommend it because, as a matter of fact, I had a t-shirt on, a Chosen t-shirt on earlier. I took it off to be on the show today, but, I really, they have done a great job with bringing biblical principles and biblical stories to the screen. So some people who have never known the Lord have come to the Lord. And this is the time in the world today where if it's one thing we need, it's his presence in our life. And Michelle, I know you have to go. So I'm gonna say thank you so much for joining us. And I'm gonna turn that over to Rich about having the Lord in our life, having Jesus in our lives, and how it makes us different. It makes us better people.
Yes, wish I was hearing that. I'll see you guys soon.
Okay. Thanks
for having me.
All right. Thanks for coming. Bye-bye. Yeah. So Rich, I know that your church is gonna be 150 years old, right?
Yeah.
So you have an event coming up in October, I believe.
Sure.
My question to you is, since you've been pastor there, I know that there's been some changes because I know who you are. And let me just say this. I've known Pastor Rich for many years, and I know his heart for people, and I know his heart for family, and I know his heart for just being a light in the community, not just the church. And I'm sure that things have changed and new faces have come in since you've been there. And what do you think something like this is going to bring to your church community?
I think it's not been done. I don't know why it hasn't reached this area, but it's a message that's universal. And I think that I think there's an eagerness down here. There's almost, I hate to say it, it's almost like a little sadness. And almost everybody I meet, whether it's in the store, the library, wherever I go, I sense this little bit of sadness. And they catch on to the passion and the joy that someone has in them. And so, you know, when you share something like this, they never even considered it being possible, many people. So I think, and like I said, the registration has really begun to pick up. I think we're going to have a nice crowd here. I think folks are going to come out, and I think they're going to walk away with more than they were expecting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's Michelle and I have talked about it. And that's our hope, that people will walk away with something that's going to spark them in an area of their life to draw themselves closer to Jesus, closer to God, closer to the church community, closer to one another, so that, you know, God didn't put us on this earth to do life by ourselves. If he did, we'd be on an island somewhere with, you know, a match. That's it. Well, not even a match. We'd have to do it. We'd have to be by ourselves. I think that he meant us to be in community. He meant us to be in relationship with one another. You know, so I think that my hope is that this is also going to bring women closer to one another and talking to each other about scripture, about how they can use the information that we will be bringing in their lives on the day to day. Right?
I think so. And again, you know, one of the things that I run into is many folks today, their Bible's collecting dust. They don't know just how much joy can be found in there. They don't know how much freedom can be revealed to them in just a very short period of time. So I think when people realize the potential of what's about to take place, I think that this will be something that will want to do again. There'll be more friends. People will tell their friends. They'll tell their family. And I think, you know, for people to grow in their holy faith is a big deal. And a lot of folks, you know, just getting a blurb on TV from time to time or reading a verse, which is good. It has value. But there's more. There's more than that verse. What's the context? What did God mean when he sent this to me? And so I think that when you start to dive down, you're going to see the depth to which God loves you further and further as you go. And most people, I'll tell you, to quote a great man from a long time ago, he wrote a book. And in his book, he basically said, really, the one thing everybody really wants is to be loved. And they are, but they may not realize it.
Yeah. 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 And I think that's true. I think at one point in our lives, somewhere along the line, we feel, I'm going to speak for myself, that somewhere along the line, I felt that I was not loved. I grew up in a household where you know, God was a punishing God. My father was, you know, we say, when it says like you should fear the Lord. Well, fear the Lord means to have reverence for the Lord, not be afraid of God himself. And so my dad used to say, you know, if we did something wrong, I remember yelling at my grandmother in the kitchen. We were cooking together and we had an argument about, I don't know, garlic, who knows? I have no idea. But I started yelling at my grandmother and I stopped myself and I ran out the side door because I knew I shouldn't be yelling at my grandmother. And as I went down the stairs, I tripped. And I did, because we were yelling at one another so loud, I didn't hear my father's rickety old truck come in the driveway. And who's standing over me but him? And what were the first words out of his mouth as I was crying? God punished you for yelling at your grandmother. So that kind of God, I was really, it was really difficult for me to draw near. But what when my belief system, when I started reading the Bible, which in my house was collecting dust, don't touch it. Don't touch it. What do you mean? Don't touch it. I want to know what's in there. You know, when I started reading the Bible and I started realizing, especially in New Testament teachings, the love of Christ, I was drawn in. I was just captivated. I was captivated. And so my entire life changed, you know, so. And that's my hope for your church community with you and leadership role there. I know your heart for God. And I know that I pray that this is going to bring some additional joy to your community.
Yeah, you know what? You know, most people just don't realize that God sees you. God sees you. Mm-hmm. Jesus sees you. Take every single encounter of the New Testament where Christ sees, they're yelling, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. His disciples are saying, get out of here, get rid of them. And Christ is constantly teaching his disciples, you feed them. What are you going to do? You know, what are you going to use? What are you going to do with what you have for your community, for those around you? How are you going to love them? How are you going to care for them? I appreciate you and Michelle using your gifts and graces to be able to reach out to folks. And it's necessary. More people are hurting than it seems. Most of my private conversations with people always deal with a level or an element of hurting or pain or suffering to even go that far and to know that someone loves them. And I will tell you, I used to deal with some other folks in pastoral ministry and they never prayed with the people they spoke to. And they said, well, I'm not like you. And I said, you know, just ask them, would you be willing, or would it be okay if I shared a moment of prayer with you? 100% of the time they say yes.
Yeah.
Probably 100% of the time it brings them to tears too. Yeah. Because something deep is missing on the inside. And mm-hmm. they get a touch from God in those moments where two or three are gathered and you're seeking God's face. And really calling the divine from heaven into the troubles of earth, you know, I will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's interesting, you know, we really haven't been taught well coming up, or at least we weren't listening very well. But I think, yeah. I pray that we are.
Yeah, I pray that we are as well. And I pray that this event, which I thank you for letting us come to your church, to bring bring our hearts for God. You know, one thing you said that really, you talked about the Sermon on the Mount and the feeding of the 5,000. I heard that a little bit of that slip through your mouth right there when you were talking. And I, you know, gratitude is a huge topic for me, and it's going to be part of our conversation. And I think that when I read the scripture, and even when I saw the depiction of it through the TV series that's rocking the world and bringing a lot of people to Christ, I think that the only thing that Jesus said when that little boy gave up his lunch of five loaves and two little fish, what the Lord said was thank you. He lifted up and asked God's blessing by saying thank you. And it grew abundantly. So one of the things that I want to be part of this conversation is the concept of gratitude. And where is it in your life that you know that you should be more thankful and you don't know how to get there? And we have a practice that we'll give you. I'll even share a little bit of a practice with you when we come back from this break, because we have to go to break, about how to find your grateful heart. And we'll be right back with Pastor Rich Bradshaw from United Methodist Church in 44. We'll be back after these messages.
In order to be healthy and happy, there are 24 areas of your life to balance. With the All Things Wellness Wheel, you become self-empowered, allowing you to make healthier decisions about relationships, nutrition, sleep, exercise, stress, and even your value system. The All Things Wellness book series, written by Peggy Wilms and Dr. Marcus Vetchstein, teaches you how to balance your wellness wheel in addition to sharing true stories from multiple contributing authors. Book 1, The Fourfold Formula, and Book 2, Win the Wellness War, We Are Responsible, are now available on Amazon. Reserve your spot now to become a published author in Book 3, Wellness GPS, Get Prepared for Success. Visit www.allthingswellness.com/authors for more information.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
Do you have a personal story of hope or kindness to share? The Daily Gift book series, which began with a daily gift of gratitude, now available on Amazon, continues with a daily gift of hope and a daily gift of kindness. And we're looking for people just like you to share a story. Your Daily Gift of Hope story might answer one of these questions. Is there a time when you felt hopeless and someone stepped in to change your view? Have you been an example of hope for someone else? Is hope something that you've always had? If so, how do you keep that hope alive? With hope, we have more energy and a purpose. It gets us out of bed in the morning. Daily Gift of Kindness might be your chance to talk about recognizing and spreading kindness to change the world. Practicing kindness lifts your spirit and your mood, warms your heart, and helps to navigate your way through today's challenges. Has an act of kindness from a stranger turned your day around? Have you ever paid it forward to someone or for someone? Your story matters, so visit DailyGiftBookSeries.com to find out more about how to submit your story for a daily gift of hope and a daily gift of kindness. Your stories make a difference.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back with Pastor Rich Bradshaw. And I'll talk about gratitude. This is the daily gift of gratitude that the commercial just talked about. This is over, close to 100 stories in here from people all around the world sharing their stories on gratitude. Gratitude is something that I remember asking a family member of mine when they were screaming and hollering and they were just out of control. And I was feeling like, I gotta get out of here. I turned around and I asked this person, tell me one thing that you're grateful for. I'm not grateful for anything, was the response. And I'm like, oh, really? What about, and in one breath, I named about 10 things for this person to be grateful for. You know, the roof over your head, you have someone who loves you, you have beautiful children, you have grandchildren, you have this. Oh, now that it's like It's the simplest things that we're grateful for. So when I started my gratitude practice, it was simply by starting my day with at least three things that I was grateful for. And for a long time, it was the roof over my head, the food that I ate, the whatever simple stuff, whatever the day-to-day stuff was where it started. And then I had to stretch that muscle a little bit and go outside of that circle of stuff and start thinking about the people who had made a difference in my life. And, you know, it grew from there. So gratitude is a practice that will help you to live a more abundant life. Now, abundance, let me just say this, abundance is not necessarily money. For those of you who are thinking that, I'm grateful. Look at the feeding of the 5,000. It had nothing to do with money. It had to do with giving thanks and sharing with others. And so that's where it became so abundant. Do you have a gratitude practice, Pastor Rich? You're muted.
Sorry about that. I have several gratitude practices. I mean, one that many people learn when they're young is, you know, before you have a meal, you know, you sit down and you're grateful and you say, Lord, I'm grateful for what you've provided for me. We ask God's blessing upon it. We do so. It's one of the ways. Well, some of the ways that I do are kind of private. You know, when my kids come to give me a hug before bed, I usually hug them and I thank God for them. I also place a blessing on them. They don't know. As they get older, I'll walk by their doorway and their door shut. I'll place my hand on the door sill of their room and thank God for them and bless them. But there's a lot of things that I'm grateful. During the day, I usually take a few moments to think about the things that that God has done in my life in that day. And that it helps me to focus and to center myself during difficult days, which unfortunately, there are many.
Yeah. And we're living in a difficult time. It's, you know, and people, I'm sure, are coming to you with a lot of questions, a lot of, need for comfort from a godly man. And it's you're getting a workout, I'm sure.
Well, pastoral ministry isn't for the faint of heart. I thought I had a little more energy than I actually do at times. But I'll tell you, you know, being grateful in these difficult times helps.
Yeah.
Running close to Christ. You know, this week I was just thinking about it. The New Living Translation says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my response is, Lord, I am coming. So that it's a conversation. Gratitude is something that we have a conversation with God too. It's not just a feeling, you know, you can express it in many ways. And so, you know, for me, I love that. It's the New Living Translation, Psalm 27:8. That's one of my favorite scriptures out there. And sometimes God is drawing you and you're just grateful for those moments in God's presence, even in silence. If we could even imagine what was going on behind the scenes that keeps us breathing, going, heart beating, everything it's pretty interesting. God does many more things than we perceive.
Exactly. So talking about translations of the Bible, I have a question from one of our listeners. The question is it safe to read the newer translations or should I stick with King James? Also, if I wanted a child's Bible, do you recommend one?
Those are good questions. It depends on who you ask. For me, I like to read multiple versions to get perspective on what's going on. So, you know, if you're reading King James, well, I don't really have a vocabulary like King James. My understanding is it's extremely accurate. But again, I the New Living Translation or something that's amplified is also a nice way to give you more perspective, give you more depth in what the scholars have dug down to in our native language. Mm-hmm. So it does help. So yeah, is there something that I recommend? You know, New Revised Standard Translation is good. A New King James Version is very good. In our church, they've been reading the NIV for many years. But again, I study out of the NIV and the King James quite consistently.
Mm-hmm. And so for somebody who's just starting to read the Bible, what's your recommendation in terms of, there are some people who will say, read it cover to cover, start in Genesis, go to Revelation. But then there's other people who would say, start in the New Testament, maybe the book of John, which is really, really helps people to see who Jesus is. What would you recommend for somebody who's new to the Bible, and wants to learn? And is there one version that will, this is an interesting question, that will help someone not to make a mistake in understanding the word?
Well, we're human. We're bound to make a mistake no matter what we're reading, no matter what we're doing. But I would suggest one of two things. If you're going to read, start in the New Testament. I like the book of Luke. I think it's expansive. It deals in many ways. Jesus speaks in the book of Luke in stories with a deep spiritual meaning. So I would say there, I also love the book of Mark. It's a little shorter. It's very compact. It's the miracles of Jesus. It shows that Jesus not only came for Jews, but Gentiles. It shows his command over wind, waves, things you see, things you don't see. So, you know, there's miracles, there's teaching. But Luke is, you know, here's a doctor that set out to really take a look at the narrative, to see what happened in the accounts, and then to give this beautiful, you know, display of what Christ did and what his mission was. And it leads right into Acts. So you could see the growth of the disciples, what happens from the death, resurrection, and the rising of Christ to the beginning of the church and how doctrine begins. So I would read Luke through Acts. That's a great place to start and to get filler. Also, if you need a little help, you know, call your pastor, call somebody I'm going to be tough here. You got to believe the word. You got to believe the word. Everybody wants to pick and choose what they want, but take what Christ said in the red very literally and see how that applies to your life as you apply it. See what God does. So a lot of times we just want to pick and choose what we want. Sometimes God wants to grow you, but not sometimes, all the time. So of course, some things are going to challenge us. It's going to challenge us in our beliefs. So I would say to start in Luke. I love Mark, though. And if you're a short reader and you can't read much, take a little bit of Mark every day. It would be good medicine.
Yeah, good idea. Great. That's a great answer. So two questions. Where do you see the modern woman in today's church? What's the definition of a modern woman? I would say that this, for me, with this question asking, a modern woman would be somebody who is maybe a mother, has children, of course, maybe even has grandchildren, is still in the workforce, is keeping a home for herself and her family. That is a modern, for me, that's like today's woman for the most part. Yes, would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, where do I see, you know, that it varies where you're at, but you're saying in the church, where do I see a modern woman in the church? It depends on where you attend, where you worship, the fellowship that's there. But here, it's all hands on deck at 44, you know, male, female, adult, child, even if you're on your last days, you know, in hospice, in your deathbed, you know, we're still meeting with you. We still want to hear from you. You still have a place. You could be praying and encouraging and sharing wisdom, even in those moments. So for me, I see the modern woman very active if they choose to be. It's a choice. Exactly. You can, yeah, because you can take what I say, you know, you believe it or disbelieve it, that's okay. But again, you know, it really is a choice. If you want to be active in the church, believe me, there are fellowships who want to see the ladies really get involved and play a deep role. And let's be honest. I mean, in my previous work, I saw a lot of single mothers, and a lot of neonatal intensive care situations with babies who were born, no dads in their life or whatever. There is a huge, huge ministry to be had in this world with children and especially with women.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And it's funny you mentioned the neonatal unit. A very good friend of mine has a baby, had twins, and one of them was in the neonatal unit for the 7 months of his life, and unfortunately passed away at the end of August. And you know, she started a foundation, and she has a beautiful heart for God, and she has made it possible for women who were going through circumstances and situations the way that she has, who have children, who have disabilities, have you know, cerebral palsy, trisomy 18, Down syndrome, but these children are overlooked because they have something that's not quote unquote normal. Well, God has a plan for everybody. And we believe that with all of our hearts. He has a plan for everybody. And he makes each one of us perfect in his image. And those children have a purpose. And so she started a book series called Born Able. And it's all about her little boy. And there's a foundation called Born Able Foundation. You can find bornable.com. You can find the book Born Able on Amazon. There's going to be a series of them. And there's all these little faces drawn in, caricatured, who are smiling and joyful because they live and they are able to get through whatever it is on their day-to-day, even with what we would consider to be disability. But they have joy in their heart and they know the Lord. These children are gifts from God.
I'd like to add something to what I said before, Terry. I was thinking about David and Goliath. And when David heard the call, he stepped onto the, he said, you know, I'll step forward. They tried to put another man's armor on him and it just didn't fit. And too many of us are trying to be like a certain person or trying to do a certain thing. And God has a very unique purpose for each person. More unique than your fingerprint, more unique than the balance of DNA. God designed you very unique for a specific purpose. And so I think a lot of times we try to be someone else instead of just coming to Christ, learning from Christ, and allowing the Lord to be able to guide you through study, through prayer, through relationships to become the person you'll be. And maybe it is, you know, a grief share. I can't tell you how many women I know that have lost children, you know, at all different ages. And so it just that alone, but there's so many different ways that that God can use folks. You don't have to be like someone else, but right, Christ exactly. will continue to conform you into his image. And there's no better model than that.
Yeah. Well, this has been an incredibly good conversation. I just want to say thank you to you and to everyone who's listening. I want to remind everyone that the event is on September the 23rd, Saturday, September 23rd, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the United Methodist Church in 44th. What's the address, Pastor?
It's on Wyoming Avenue, the corner of Wyoming and Yeager Avenue. The official address is 26 Yeager Avenue, 44th PA, 18704.
Perfect. Thank you. And for those of you who have a story of hope, I want to remind everyone that we are putting out the book, A Daily Gift of Hope. We're hoping for that to be released in time for Christmas, Thanksgiving, actually. We're hoping to get it done by Thanksgiving. And would love to hear your stories. If you want to be part of that book, you can just go to dailygiftbookseries.com/hope, and all the information is there. And I hope you will write a story for us, Pastor Rich. What do you think?
I think I will.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. We thank you. And on behalf of Michelle, we hope to see a bunch of ladies from Northeastern Pennsylvania join us on the 23rd at the United Methodist Church. And thank you for talking with us, Pastor Rich. This was a great conversation. I appreciate you so much. And for all of you out there, let the conversations that you're having with others make a difference in your life and their lives. Have a great day.
Tune in next time for Conversations That Make a Difference with host Teresa Velarde every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern, with live call-in shows every first and third Tuesday on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Thank you for listening, and thank you to our producer, Rachel, and to our station owner, Deborah Beauvais, working behind the scenes. Be sure to go to conversationsthatmakeadifference.com for your free gift. Make sure your conversations make a difference.